Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about Season 1, Episode 7 of Talking Shit, Turkey Shoot. Of course, I'm not alone. Joined, oh, as always, by someone who loves to air dry in the street. Stuart, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Just a quick question. Have you killed before?
No. And can I say it's
Turkey Virgin?
My least favorite part of this episode. It's so awful. But of course, it's not just the two of us either. We have a special guest today, someone who has had his daily Meadow Harvest smoothie and is obviously feeling super well. Todd the Librarian. Todd, how are you?
I'm feeling delicate, fragile, scrimpy.
Scrimpy. Is scrimpy a word? Is the thing, like, is it though? Is it a word?
Not that I'm aware of, but
well, you're the librarian, so yeah. I'm gonna trust.
Actually, yes, it's an adjective. Scanty, meager, barely adequate, tending to scrimp, frugal, parsimonious.
And this is something Roland used? That seems unbelievable. Well, we're talking about Turkey Shoot here today. Of course, if you haven't already, please go subscribe. Talking Shit everywhere you find your podcasts. That's Talking without the G. We're on all social media at Talking Shit, and we're on YouTube. Watch our lovely faces. Talking Shit. Yeah,
I'm really glad I remembered that you did videos before I hopped on today.
Wait, I'm pretty sure are we matching, Todd? No, you're wearing a different sweatshirt. Are you?
I'm wearing the community building sweatshirt.
Oh my God, me too.
Hey!
We are matching. So cute. So thank you so much, Todd, for joining us for this episode. Before we dive into doing a recap and talking about the episode, your thoughts on Schitt's Creek, why you picked this episode, your history with the show.
All right, so I actually watched the first season of Schitt's Creek as it was airing back in the day, back when it was on Pop. And it was okay to me. You know, I watched it and I liked it, but I wasn't blown away by it. And then just for different reasons, I fell off of watching it and never really looked back until I joined the PSR Discord and people were talking about all the time about how great it was. I'm like, really? That show? But then I'm like, okay. And then I found out, it sounds like it's a bit of like a Parks and Rec situation where maybe it got better as it went along. So I think like in February 2021, I started from the beginning to rewatch the first season and then watch on. It actually took me a few months to get through it, surprisingly enough, because I am a big binge watcher.
There's not that many episodes.
Yeah. But I think I will say, on the whole, I love Schitt's Creek. I think it's hilarious. And I love the characters. I love where the show goes. However, if you know me, you know that I sometimes have a very low threshold for cringe. And there are times where the cringe on this show is just overpowering to me. And I had to take breaks. I had to take breaks from the show, largely because of Roland.
But I was also just going to say, Roland feels
because
like
of
a
Johnny sometimes. You know, Johnny can really get me as well. I think Johnny and Roland both different types of cringe, but they both can just really push my button. So I had to take a break occasionally. But I was going back through the PSR Discord, looking at all my comments I'd posted and just to try and track my thoughts of things on the show over time. And I do think that by season three is whenever I completely fell in love with the show. I think the first seasons I liked and enjoyed, but season three is whenever I fully fell in love with the show. So that's kind of where I am, my history of the show. Why I picked this episode? It was because whenever Jess gave me a list of episodes that were available, there were a couple. I'm like, there's no way on God's green earth I'm going to take that episode because there's some cringy moments that I just knew that I would not be able to. I would just have to set the entire podcast going, nope, don't like it. Nope, don't like it. So this was the one that was available. I was like, okay, yeah, I think I can do this one. I remember had a few things I liked. First of all, foremost of all, Ted meeting Alexis. That was my big, I got to do the Ted and Alexis meet episode. That's got to be the one that I'm on for because I love Ted.
Yeah. Stuart, we actually met Ted last episode. Of course, he had a very minor part. I think you were questioning, and some other like first time watchers were questioning, like, are we going to see this guy again? Is he a recurring character? We get him back this episode in a much larger role, dating Alexis. Any hot takes on Ted? Any like first impressions of Ted now that we've seen a little bit more of him?
I mean, if we're going to be diving into Ted immediately, I have to bring up the fact that he's broken vet patient confidentiality immediately. Yes. Which is wild to me.
But it is, especially because like knowing the character, it feels out of character for him to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it plays into the fact that he is a very kind of like, I think a little bit naive in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, because of, I mean, for the fact that he's pursuing Alexis is, I think, just naive, like brought forth straight away. But poor David, when that happens, it was like that again. That was what a small cringe moment in the kind of like compared to the many that we've had already. And I'm guessing the many that were coming up based on what you said, Todd. But even then, I was a bit like, ooh, that's just a bit bad.
Yeah, not great. Not great, Ted. Well, it's a really interesting introduction to Ted and kind of his relationship with Alexis and how Mutt factors in. So let's do a quick little recap of what happens in this episode, and then we'll kind of dig into the nitty gritty. Get ready for a makeover montage. Moira is in a bit of a funk, so Jocelyn proposes a girl's day. She treats Moira to a new hairstyle and manicure, but unfortunately, Moira's wig comes out looking like a Jocelyn lookalike. Moira plays nice, but Jocelyn can see through the facade and warns Moira that she might be in Schitt's Creek for a long while, so she better get used to it. Stevie basically double dog dares David to attend the Schitt's Creek annual turkey shoot. David attends dressed in an all camo outfit, unfortunately for you, Stuart, not Moira in camo this episode, and ends up shooting a turkey in the neck. So that's some super fun trauma. Alexis meets the local vet, Ted, who peppers her with compliments and asks her out on a date, which she happily accepts. Nice guy Ted isn't exactly the type of guy Alexis normally goes for, but is she genuine in her interest for him, or is she just trying to make Mutt jealous? Time will tell. And that's what happened on this episode of Schitt's Creek. Gosh, just straight off the bat, I feel like, being that we were already kind of on the topic of Ted here, Todd, this is a really interesting, we met Ted once before, but now we kind of get a better vibe for who he is. And I have to say, for knowing like Ted is like this very nice guy, right? Like, seems like pretty affable, very bold of him to ask Alexis out after he's known her for 2 seconds.
Yeah, good on Ted. No, shoot your shot, man. I think it does seem like something that might be a little bit out of character from based on other things, but I do think, you know, he's had his eye on her, he's seen her around, he knows who she is, and had a like such a great, you know, opening, you know, oh, let me warn her about this thing that's going to give her diarrhea. That's going to get me in good with her, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess he saw the opportunity and took it. So,
well, yeah, Stuart, done, what exactly is a Meadow Harvest smoothie?
I can't with this. Like, I'm someone that really needs specifics and details. If I go to a restaurant and I see something and I don't recognize exactly what it is, I'm there kind of like surreptitiously getting my phone out, Googling like what the dish is going to be and things. So how can you just say Meadow Harvest? And then when
what it sounds
questioned
like
about it, just be like, oh, I just chuck some stuff in the blender.
It's whatever I feel like on that
like
day.
Mud. But it looked like mud. And like,
it was a little less fruity, but a little more something. Whatever.
See,
something.
That's the problem is when she says it's less sweet, I immediately am like, I don't want this, because what is not sweet that you're putting into a smoothie besides like spinach, you know? Like, I don't want something that's not sweet going in my smoothie, because that just sounds
all
weird.
The greens, like one of those kind of like really hearty green smoothies of kale and spinach and nothing.
For some reason I was like, maybe she puts garlic in it. Like, it just felt like she would put garlic in it.
Okay, I'm not against that. That actually sounds half
garlic
decent.
In a smoothie? Like, no.
Well, I guess if you're going for like a savory one, like at least get some flavor in there somehow.
I don't think so. But, I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think smoothie making is Twyla's like skill. And I think this is the one thing I'm going to mark Twyla down on for this episode, because like Twyla, she's up there as one of my like favorite characters and I adore her. But the smoothie making girl, come on.
Yeah, I think it's the worst look we've gotten from Twyla so far, easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Stuart, I want to know your thoughts on Alexis and Ted. Like, immediate reactions. Are you liking this as a pairing? Do you think Alexis actually has feelings for Ted, or is it simply just a ploy to, you know, flaunt in front of Mutt?
Absolutely not. Like, I think that perhaps in time, maybe Alexis will come around to Ted, but I don't even think she thinks of Ted as a human being. I think she sees Ted as a, here's something I can dangle in front of Mutt and be like, oh, look, aren't you so jealous? Aren't you so jealous of him because he gets to smooch mm-hmm. me or shake hands or hug at the end of a date? But then also, how does Ted not know who Beyonce is? This aired in 2015. Beyonce was 5 albums deep at that time. How sheltered is Schitt's Creek from the world?
Yeah, Ted just feels like a little innocent baby. Like, I don't know what kind of music he would listen to, but certainly not anything current or relevant.
I don't know how you miss Beyonce, though. Beyonce is a force of nature who I think that even if you didn't actively listen to music, you still know of. In the mm-hmm. same thing of Madonna in the 80s and kind of all the 90s kind of big divas and things like that. It's like Beyonce's Beyonce. Ted needs to wise up.
I mean, it could be a situation where he knows the name, but he couldn't name any. He might know the name, might know the songs, but not know that they're Beyonce songs. Maybe that's a bit of it. Because I think there's definitely that. Okay, there are definitely singers or I know their names, but if you ask me the name, what song is theirs? I'm like, oh.
Well, based on, what's happening at Janine's salon, it feels like everything is kind of still stuck in the 80s in Schitt's Creek. So maybe he just mm-hmm. hasn't discovered Beyonce yet because she hasn't made an appearance in Schitt's Creek. And the other thing that got me this episode, Todd, is I came out last episode and I said I'm not a huge fan of Mutt, but I really don't get the interest in him beyond looks. Yes, his beard, immaculate, incredible, abs for days. He's a good looking guy. But if you ask someone, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And they tell you, and then don't ask what you are doing, that's just someone who isn't well socialized.
Yeah. So you're saying that Roland's son is not well socialized.
Yes.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, Mutt is kind of a sinkhole of personality in a lot of ways so far. I like the actor. I've seen him in other things. I really liked him in other things, but they're just not giving Mutt a lot of personality other than being the strong, silent type. So but that's all that Alexis is into about him. It's definitely 100% physical. That's the only thing that he has going on for him really that would draw Alexis in. And I don't know if I completely agree that Alexis is only dating Ted to make Mutt jealous. I also think she likes dating a doctor. I think there's also that. So I think
doctor.
the whole thing. Whether or not he's an actual doctor or and she's just repeating over and over again, a doctor, and it's
the doctor. Mutt does accuse her of only being interested in money. Oh, sounds like a perfect future husband for you who makes a lot of money. Which I mean, feels it's not untrue about Alexis, feels pretty fair.
I mean, she even tells David, I think someone without a trust fund, which is a change for me, So I think historically that has been Alexis's type. Her type is money. And, Ted is definitely not that. So will it last? Mutt's not that type either. So, Alexis is being forced to date outside her box in a way here in Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do love when Ted comes to...
Sorry, I was going to say a question I wanted to ask about the her dating history and stuff. She mentions going to Bali with Leo as well, which I was alert. I was does that they are talking about Leonardo DiCaprio, right? They are inferring.
Of course, they're going to name drop Leo DiCaprio and call him just Leo casually.
Yeah, because how many other kind of Leos are there in LA? But one that's notoriously known for dating younger kind of.
Yep.
In that circle kind of women. So I just thought, Alexis does seem the kind of prime candidate, but doesn't seem to be scalded by it. So maybe she came off quite well of it.
Yeah.
I, I want to say, like, one of my favorite things across the series is whenever Alexis will just drop these little bits of her, like, dating history or, like, her life beforehand. Like, just the most random things. And sometimes they get so wild. And I just, like, and she just says it so casually. Just like, oh, yeah, you know. Just like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible. So she goes on a date with Ted. They go to a buffet, but she says, we can order off the menu, so it's fine. They have a decent enough date. It's very sweet that Ted brings her a smoothie the next day when she's working at community service. So we'll see where this goes. Stuart, any guesses on, like, you know, where we are with Ted, what's going to happen with Alexis and Ted and or Mutt?
I don't have any really close. Prediction is that they're going to go on a few dates. Mutt is going to show no jealousy whatsoever, and it's going to fizzle out perhaps because she's not quite getting it from that. But maybe she does find something with Ted. Maybe she does kind of like begin to fall for him. Because what I'm seeing across the board is that the family, without really realizing it until like in the end of this episode, they're slowly falling into the town quite a lot. You've got David, like, with Stevie. You've got Moira with Jocelyn. In a way, almost Johnny with Roland a little bit, because he's kind of, like, pulling up with more of his BS as things go on. And I can see them just slowly beginning to, maybe not love, that's a really strong word, but at least understand and tolerate the town. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of Moira, let's jump to that storyline. She's having a bit of a rough time lately. And, you know, I can appreciate Johnny wanting to be like, go do something fun, like go have fun. He probably doesn't handle it the best way. But gosh, Todd, it's Jocelyn showing up with Nanaimo bars, which I did look up because I was like, I have no idea what this is. I've never even heard of these. It is a Canadian thing. So it's named after a Canadian city in British Columbia. And it's three different layers. There's a coconut crumb base, a custard filling, and a chocolate ganache topping. I feel like I'm out on the custard filling, but the rest of it sounds good.
See, I'm out on the coconut crumb base. And fair, also kind of on the custard filling. So just give me the chocolate.
Two-thirds.
I am outraged. Looks like he would love this sounds like the best thing ever. Because I was thinking about that. I was like, it's like millionaire shortbread. Admittedly, they've taken out the best aspect of a millionaire shortbread by taking out the caramel. But they've replaced it with like a creme brulee kind of like filling and combined it with like an Aussie Lamington with the like coconut in there. This sounds fantastic. I'm kind of.
I only understood annoyed. About half the words you just said. I have no idea what a million dollar whatever you just. I don't know what that is.
You guys don't have millionaire shortbread.
Millionaire shortbread. Is this like a snack? Is it like a candy bar? What is it?
It's similar. It's like a tray bake kind of thing. You have like a digestive biscuit like crumb base or a shortbread base. That then you have this like gooey caramel. And then you cover it in chocolate. And it's like the same kind
it does
of like
look very similar
situation going on. Yeah. And then a Lamington is like a very Aussie thing. Admittedly, it's more of a sponge cake, but it's covered in like coconut kind of like shredding and things like that. Yeah. International listeners are going to absolutely drag you for not knowing these things.
So sorry.
How dare we?
But the thing is Jocelyn is like so sweet, right? She like brings over these treats. She invites Moira to go to a salon. She's like, oh, let's go to Janine's. Like, it's my treat. We'll get you a manicure. Mm-hmm. Moira doesn't really seem interested, but it seems like she's having a rough enough time that she just leans in and goes with it. And Todd, poor Moira. She comes out looking just like Jocelyn, which of course Jocelyn is like tickled pink by.
Yeah, I'm really curious at what point it is Jocelyn realizes. I guess it's probably never Moira calls it sad. That's probably the point where Jocelyn realizes that Moira's not actually as happy as she's been putting on. But yeah, Jocelyn is so excited to be able to do this for Moira and help her out. And that whole scene where Moira and Johnny are talking in the diner and Jocelyn's over there going, thumbs up to Johnny. Yay, we did it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Jocelyn, my sweet summer child. It's just... Yeah, but the look, every time someone reacts to Moira's new wig is just like, I love it. Like Johnny reacting, and then David at the end is just so funny. And Moira just like standing there and taking it and trying not to lose it again. She sits there and they laugh at her. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuart, what did you think of Moira's new look?
It's hilarious. Part of me thought that perhaps maybe they had kept this wig away from Dan Levy at the end, because his reaction is just so funny, because it's almost like he's corpsing in the scene, because like he's got this like real genuine smile, just how ridiculous it is. And it's, oh bless them, it's so close to like Jocelyn's, and they've matched it up really well in being like similar but like still Moira. Like at least Janine's tried to make it a little Moira-y, but yeah hasn't worked.
Yeah, it's really awful, but I do love kind of the result of this entire thing where, mm-hmm. you know, Moira's trying. I mean, again, we have to give Moira a little bit of credit in that she didn't immediately like rip the wig off and be like, this is horrendous. You know, like she tries to play along and play nice. But I love the scene of Jocelyn calling her out and being like, I know you hate it. I know you hate your hair. I know you hate this town, but you know what? You might be here a while and I'd hate to see you like wake up one day and realize, you know, like just, I don't want it to come as a shock to you. And gosh, Todd, the number of times they say blouse barn, you're going to have to go to the blouse barn. Like the world building in this show is incredible. And I think extremely underrated for how many things that like come up that they deliver on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I love this scene. I love getting to see Jocelyn, not just as the kind of ditzy, oblivious character that she sometimes has come across as Roland's wife so far, and to have her have this real insight and be able to like kind of give Moira this advice. I really like that. And I like Moira's reaction to it as well, because Moira is like, you know, I don't hate this. And like, yeah, this look, it's not that I hate this look, it's that it's not me. It looks great on you. And I think she's sincere with this. I think she's sincere with like, you know who you are. I don't know who I am from day to day. I think Moira is like, she's an actress, but she's someone who her whole life has been like putting on an act. And she has 10 million wigs because she is like always cycling through, who am I today? What am I today? Mm-hmm. And I think she's sincere. Whenever she tells Jocelyn, she envies that about her. So I think it's like a really sweet moment between the two that, and to Stuart's point earlier, that kind of shows, you know, that Moira is getting sucked into the town a little bit. I think not a lot, but it's also saying what the kind of thing about people kind of fall in love with the show is watching this group of people who, when they first come in, are just like, this is the worst place ever. In this episode, Moira is just like so down on the town. Mm-hmm. But here you see this little bit of vulnerability come from Moira that's not played for laughs. It's not like a funny ha-ha Moira spiraling in the closet type scene. It's Moira just like being kind of vulnerable, like, I don't know who I am. I actually envy that about you. And that little bit of heart in the midst of all the humor is like one of the things that really helps me power through the super cringy parts of the show.
Definitely agree, because the way in which Moira accepts it, and like Moira could just be like kind of like just going along with it and things, but Moira accepts what Jocelyn kind of like throws at her, but then kind of receives it, absorbs it, but then also kind of restates that it's just not me. And kind of really kind of like holds her own kind of identity in a weird way of like kind of saying, well, I don't really have an identity, but I know this isn't my identity. But then also claims an aspect of identity at the end by saying, but I will accept this. But if you ever catch me at the blouse barn, you must shoot me in the temple. Because it's like in a nice way of just saying, I totally hear what you're saying and I respect it, but here's my boundary, almost.
I think that's the line.
Really good for her to establish.
Yeah, I do like the line of, this just isn't my town, you know, like I understand, but it's not my town. And yeah, like to your point, Stuart, they are getting all kind of like sucked in to this town and its weird events and its weird like quirks. We have Stevie kind of again, like very much playing chicken with David in terms of trying to get him to go to this turkey shoot, which of course is not anything David would be interested in. He gets roped into it anyway. This isn't my favorite storyline, and I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's because I'm really not a fan of hunting in general, and so like watching someone like purposely just like shoot an animal is not fun. But I don't know, like seeing David dress in camo is fun. But other than that, I don't know that this storyline is a ton of fun. I guess we're getting, I don't know, Stuart, do you feel like you got to know the side characters anymore a little bit, like Bob and Ronnie and them?
Not so much. I think we got more like kind of little side gags from them than we did actual like character growth, which I think you're not really going to, like even from Roland, we kind of just got a few throwaway lines, but we didn't really get anything extra for the character itself. I think perhaps if maybe it had been slightly tweaked to a different scenario, I think you could have got the same kind of reaction of like disgust from something that people do annually, from something like, say, fishing or like kind of something, anything outdoors, really, because David just isn't an outdoors kid in the slightest. And I think that could have got the point across a little bit. But seeing David in the camo is refreshing, not seeing him in black or white. I thought at the very beginning of the episode, we might have got a somewhat normal outfit from David, but nope, the jumper had a weird flap at the beginning, at the front, for seemingly no reason. And I was like, that would be a perfectly normal outfit were it not for the flap. Thank you for just adding that, just to kind of keep this madness going. But Stevie, in finding David along with all of these kind of like chicken, and she even acknowledges at the beginning with the bug and stuff, and she's like, I often forget what it's like before you guys came here, because she's enjoying this so much. Like the Schadenfreude from her is incredible, and I love it so, so much. Like their dynamic just continues to like give me joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Stevie David pairing always pays off. Like they just always pays dividends. So you get the two of them together. Everything from the stuff with the bug to this is just so great. Although I do have to say, like during the whole bug sequence, David's like, I just need you here for support. And I'm sorry, David, my dear boy, if you need support, why would you call for Stevie? I know she's your only friend, but still, if you need someone to support you, Stevie is the last person you want to call at this point.
And like, shame on Stevie for her tactic with this bug. Like, never lift. You just lift the cup. You just lift the cup and hope you're going to hit the bug in time before it scuttles away. Absolutely not. Terrible form, Stevie.
For something that takes literal chunks from people, according to the internet. Chunks is the word they use.
Yes. I mean, yeah, I'm taking no chance with a demonic cricket. I'm sorry. The milky exoskeleton, whatever. But if it's described as a demonic cricket, I don't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do love the line she says as she's leaving. He's like, how am I supposed to sleep? And she's like, well, not with your mouth open.
It's so evil. Like, he's so like holding a legitimate fear and she's just laughing at him. That's brilliant. But like David at the end there is like, I can hear it. It's like everyone has been in that situation where you've had like a mosquito or you see the spider and it's scurried away. You're like, God damn it, where are you?
Yeah. And see, this is the thing, is like even my least favorite storylines still give me joy, you know, because it's still Stevie and David doing something fun, even if I'm not like super in on that particular plot, because of the characters and their interactions. It always is like, okay, I didn't mind it that much, you know? Mm-hmm. And if these are the lows, then come on, like the highs are like super high. We did get some feedback for this episode. Emily wanted to know, are vets in Canada bound by Canadian HIPAA if and when they treat human animals? And yeah, this is bad form on Ted's part. And I mean, especially with something, I mean, anything medical related, right, should be off limits. But like a panic attack, like that's not exactly something you want to advertise that you're having, you know?
Yeah, especially to the family as well, who are likely going to be the triggers for said panic attacks and anxieties. Mm-hmm. Probably best not to talk to them without consent from the patient. But then, I mean, Ted's in a mindset of just, well, I've got to tell the owners what the problem is, because that's how vets work, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. We also got a couple different comments on Mutt. Jared said there's been a lot of valid criticism as Mutt as a character, but I do find his total lack of social awareness, like in this episode, funny. And Nick says, Mutt is sort of like the Mark Brandanowicz of Schitt's Creek, which Stuart won't understand because it's a Parks and Rec, you know, comparison. But Todd, I feel like this is an apt comparison, Mutt and Mark Brandanowicz.
Yeah, I think so. I think I probably prefer Mutt to Brandanowicz, but I think it's a pretty apt comparison for sure.
Yeah, I just find him to be too bland. Like, I just want more. And I'm not saying they have to be like, because even Ted, right? Ted is like, I feel like Ted's had more personality in the 1.5 episodes that we've had of him versus Mutt, who we've seen pretty much all season. There's not much there. Again, beyond the beautiful beard, which shouldn't go understated, but still, it's not a personality.
Yeah. A beard does not make a character. Like, but no. I think we started getting stuff. Format, but like with the whole Roland, like when that bombshell was dropped and then seemingly ignored afterwards, like there's so much to be explored with like Jocelyn and Roland being Mutt's parents, and then Mutt also being this kind of like hipster hideaway who happens to be dating Twyla, and like kind of I think there is more to explore as like kind of what is his deal and like why he is so content just to be doing community service and just going through what seems to be the kind of like throes of things. There's something that's not quite hitting, and I think it's because they haven't fully explained kind of Mutt's thoughts. Whether that's because Mutt doesn't really have many thoughts, I don't know. Maybe he's a bit of a himbo.
I think that's pretty accurate to what we've seen so far. He's very chill. If nothing else, like he is very, very chill. But I do think like in this episode, I think there's a little bit of, I don't want to say spark a personality, but a little bit like as he's kind of like, you know, dissing Ted a little bit to Alexis and kind of giving Alexis a hard time. I think you do see him like showing a little bit more personality, not a whole lot, but starting to have a little bit of back and forth instead of just letting Alexis's things just like roll off him and not really responding. Yeah. He is like giving back a little bit there. And if that continues to like develop, then maybe Mutt could start to have more of a personality other than, you know, I recycle and I'm hot. Which is like the big stuff for him.
Yeah, him saying the like, oh, if I was to end a date, like you'd know it or something like that, right? Like that's like the flirtiest I think he's really gotten with Alexis to this point. Probably because he's in a relationship with Twyla Mutt, in case you've forgotten. But that's what we got on Mutt. We'll see what happens with Mutt if he gets further developed or not. But let's get into some ratings here. Todd, who was simply the best for you this episode?
So part of me wants to say Ted just because I love Ted, but I agree that the telling Johnny, you know, and Moira about David's condition was not great, not a great move on Ted's part. So I had to give it to Jocelyn. I think Jocelyn was so great in this episode. She's trying to help Moira out. She is just like being the sweetest, and then like was giving Moira a little bit of tough love, but also in like the friendliest, nicest, cheerful way, and a way that she's like, you can tell she just wants to help, and just it's just so sweet and just so heartwarming that Jocelyn was easily my MVP of the episode.
All right, makes sense to me. What about you, Stuart?
Completely agree. Like Jocelyn had to tell Moira that and was doing the kindest thing that she could do by doing so. I was somewhat tempted to like throw Moira in as a kind of like jokey kind of candidate purely for her continuing the storyline of her not being able to make a bed that we got from the cabin by screaming abuse of it, like telling it to go to hell and then calling it a fool. I cried laughing.
It's her going, bastard, bastard.
Yeah. I love Johnny asking, have you ever seen someone take this off of this pillow? He like can't get a pillow in a pillowcase. And when Jocelyn comes in, she just casually takes it away from him and fixes it.
Yeah.
It is
Which,
perfect.
Which again is another reason why Jocelyn deserves this, because Jocelyn just does these kind of like subtle niceties that really don't often get kind of like awarded with praise and things. So I think we've got to give her our flowers this week.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was on the fence. I did for a second consider giving it to Ted just because he's such a nice guy, right? Like He's bringing her a smoothie. Like, he just seems like all around a really sweet person. He's even putting up with the roses antics. Like, when he comes to pick up Alexis, his immediately they're like pestering him with very personal questions about his parents' marital status. And when he says, oh no, they're divorced, and she's like, oh, alcoholism. And he says, no, I think it was like amicable. And she's like, affair. He like puts up with it, and he still wants to date Alexis after that. So yeah, I almost gave it to Ted, but Jocelyn is so sweet. And I think even going above and beyond, like paying for Moira to treat herself for a day, but giving her a little bit of like a smack of reality that Moira might need in the nicest way possible that Jocelyn can do. Plus she makes little sweet treats and brings them over. Like, that's so kind. So yeah, 3 points for Jocelyn this episode, because she really was the MVP. She was simply the best. Let's move on to our disgruntled pelican. Stuart, who are you giving an LVP point to this episode?
Very little to pull from this week, I thought. There wasn't too much of like people being kind of awful, like as much as Johnny was last week at times. But yeah, I think Mutt took it for me this week. From just the way in which he is being a bit of a non-character, but also for like having this flirty dynamic with Alexis and then being just outright rude and just saying money when she asks like kind of what she's looking for in a husband. And it's like, yeah, okay, we all know it and we're all thinking it, but you don't have to like be quite as direct and quite as rude.
Don't have to say like, it.
Especially when like it's obvious that you know what she's trying to do here by like almost like not using Ted, but kind of using Ted to kind of get a bit of a reaction out of him. So I'm gonna throw it to Mutt this week.
Okay, Todd, what about you?
Yeah, as much as I hate to give a disgruntled pelican to a beloved character, Bob is going to be my disgruntled pelican.
People love Bob, okay?
It's like Stuart said, there's not a whole lot to draw from this episode. Like, even Roland wasn't that bad in the grand scheme of things. Like, yeah, he like called David some names, but it's kind of funny. and so I was like going, who am I going to give this to? But I think there are kind of two things with Bob this episode. One, when they're doing the prayer and he is prayer policing to make sure that David is like closing his eyes and bowing his head. No, Bob, if you're actually praying, you yourself should have your eyes closed and your head bowed. If you are truly praying, you should not be looking to make sure that everyone else is praying. That is not your job, sir. But also then during the whole, I'm not talking, who's talking? Like, you're still talking, Bob. That was just like, you know, it's not horrible, but it is like, those are like the only things I can really pick apart from any of this episode for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Bob gets my disgruntled pelican.
Interesting. So I was on the fence this entire time until like who was going to get my LVP, because in my opinion there were two prime candidates. One being Mutt, because he just doesn't know how to be a social human being and seemingly is kind of flirting with someone when he has a girlfriend, which like isn't so great. And my other person I was considering giving the LVP point to is Alexis. Like, I think like she straight up is using Ted. Like, even if she likes him, right? Let's pretend, because we don't know at this point. Let's say that like she maybe has a little bit of genuine interest in Ted. I would still say the vast majority of her interest is either in the fact that he's a doctor, a vet, a doctor. He has money. And she can make Mutt jealous. Like, I don't think any of the prime reasons she's going on a date with Ted are for like genuine interest. I think she likes that he compliments her and calls her pretty and wants to make Mutt jealous. And it's just like not great. It's a little shallow. It's not super great. So I really wasn't sure whether I should give my point to the LVP point to Mutt or Alexis. Ultimately, I think just to diversify it a little bit, I'm going to give it to Alexis. I think it's not a great look for her this episode. I think, especially because, you know, I think, Stuart, you could probably tell, Ted becomes quite a beloved character. Like, he's very sweet. And so when you're doing something nasty to someone sweet, it just hurts all that much more. You know, he's so nice. Don't hurt his feelings.
Yeah. Especially, I think it's more highlighted that she is kind of being a not necessarily like overtly nasty, but she's using him but then she does have the capacity to be nice. Like when she drinks a smoothie from Twyla, she gives Twyla the positive affirmation, turns and discreetly spits it back into the cup. Like,
yes.
So she does have the capability of understanding people's emotions and things. It's not as if she's completely ignoring them, being so self-absorbed that she can't consider that. But maybe it's that she just doesn't know Ted well enough yet, because, I mean, she does know Twyla a little bit better. So maybe that will change. I hope for it. But yeah, mm-hmm. completely kind of jump on that for her. Like, don't love that journey for her.
Yeah. And I would say, too, like, I think even 7 episodes in of season 1, we're already starting to see some changes in some of these characters where maybe they would have acted a little differently in the very first episode of the series, which is fun. You know, we love character growth. Let's talk about Moira Swig. I tried and failed to pull up the graphic earlier, but I have it now. We have to talk about this look. Because it feels like she walked out of the 80s. Like it's a little Farrah Fawcett-y, it's a little feathered, especially Todd, the like wispy bang is giving me 90s flashbacks.
Yeah, it is a look. I will give him that. It is a look. For sure. I never forget the first time I watched this, the first time that she walked in next to Jocelyn, I lost it. And I love it, like her walking up and putting on that voice to say hi to Johnny to get him to turn around, like, hey, cowboy.
We've seen them do this a few times though with the whole like kind of role play aspect. Like they seem to really dig the idea of putting on voices for each other in that kind of capacity. I had to laugh when she walked into Cafe Tropicale though, because when she does walk in, she's wearing the sunglasses, but she's also clasping Jocelyn's hand. And for a brief millisecond, I thought there had been some horrific accident and she was temporarily blinded or something. Because they were like walking her in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God, what's happened? But no, thankfully not. Although I think maybe looking at herself in the mirror, maybe she wishes she was. It's interesting to see the hair have as much volume as the jewelry for once.
Yeah.
I think it kind of like balances out a bit. But yeah, I kind of hope this one stays in the wig collection and we see it on the wall and untouched, because I think that maybe after Jocelyn's little speech, maybe like I hope that it got through and maybe there is a like a small sentiment sort of sentimentality there. But yeah, this is a great wig.
It's a look, right? It's a look. It's just so different than anything we'd ever see Moira wear. And I love that we get not one, but two instances of both Johnny and David being like, I can't quite put my finger on what it is you're reminding me of. It's absolutely incredible. I love whenever we get a new wig from Moira.
And I also love that Stevie's like, went to Janine's, huh? Just like, yes, Stevie. Everyone knows.
It's like, everyone knows.
Stevie's very familiar with it. But yeah, I sort of said earlier, like, David's reaction is just so good. Like, David just like dying laughing at it and just like, this made my day. I just had the most traumatic experience of my life, but this made it all better.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into tier ranking this episode. We have, as just a reminder, again, if you want to watch us on YouTube, you can see our little tier ranking visual. As a reminder, at the top, we have Hot Shit, then Full Bouquet, Love That Journey For Me, You, David, and Shit Out Of Luck. Stuart, any general inclination on where you'd want to slot this one?
So I watched this episode a couple of times this week, and the first time I wasn't that hot on it. I don't know whether I wasn't in the right mind frame or something, but on the rewatch, I found it to be a lot funnier. So initially, I was toying with perhaps close to a new David, but I think on the second watch, I think it pulled back up for me. So I'm thinking middle of the road, like Love That Journey For Me, maybe.
Okay. Todd, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that fits. I think I enjoyed the hunting storyline much more than you did, Jess, for sure. That part didn't bother me at all. And I think there's like some really funny moments in this, but also doesn't reach the heights of some of the other stuff that's to come later. So I think like middle of the road is fine. Other than funny thing, there was no overwhelming cringe moments for me. So that automatically gets out of like the bottom tier.
The David territory. Yeah. Yeah. I would say like, the things that this episode has going for it are the Moira makeover story, for sure. We see a little bit of more character development from her and her interactions with Jocelyn. And then obviously the introduction of Ted is like really exciting, right? Like you're like, oh, a new character, a love interest possibly for Alexis, you know? I think for me, the stuff that drags it down a little bit is like the hunting aspect. And I'm not like the biggest Mutt fan, at least at this point. And so I also feel like maybe we could slot it in Love That Journey for me, but I feel like it probably should be at the bottom of Love That Journey for me, underneath the rest of the crew here. What do you all think?
Yeah, I think that's perfectly valid.
Love it. Okay, so we still have only one episode, The Cabin, season one, episode 5 in Full Bouquet. Most everything else in Love That Journey for me, which makes sense because that's the average. And then the pilot, Our Cup Runneth Over, is in the Ew David category. I'm curious to see if we're going to get a Hot Shit episode this season. I'm trying to think to myself if there's an episode that I think will make it. And I'm not exactly sure. Like, there's certainly a lot to come that would make it into the Hot Shit category, but I don't know about this season. We'll have to see. Speaking of next week, season one, episode 8, Stuart, the title, which probably won't give you hardly any information, is Allez-vous. Any ideas?
Allez-vous. Is this some sort of restaurant, maybe? Like, do they go out on a date, perhaps, Johnny and Moira? Could it be a Ted and Alexis date? I'm trying to like, get visual clues, but you're giving nothing. You've got a really good
I'm really good at acting. What can I say?
Dude. Jess went to the Moira Rose School of Acting. So. Mm-hmm.
I will strip in the street. just the way she says that cracks me up every time. So, season one, episode 8 next week. And don't forget to hit us up with any of your feedback at Talkin' Shit on all social media. We greatly appreciate it. We love hearing what you all are thinking of the show, whether you're watching for the first time or like the 50th time. You know, I've seen this episode about 6 times this week. So it's just me just hanging out, rewatching Schitt's Creek. But yes, Todd, thank you so much for joining us. We know you have a lot going on over at Whirlwind. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
All right, well, thanks y'all for having me. I was very happy to come on and talk about this show. Yeah, you can find me over on Whirlwind Podcast, where I am doing a few different things. Over on One Interscribable Podcast, Adam H., TV Lindy, and I are going through musical TV shows. We're just about to wrap up Girls 5 Eva's 3rd season. It'll be ending soon. So it's been really fun to talk about that show, and we're preparing for our next thing, whatever that may be. You can also find me every couple of weeks over on Whirlwind with Tommy on Tuning In with Tommy, where we're going through animated shows and topics. We've covered the old 90s X-Men TV series. We've talked about live adaptations of cartoons. Next, we're going to be talking about Has-Been Hotel, which is like a recent animated series. It's also a musical, which really enjoyed the music in that. And if you like parody songs and like the Has-Been songs, you might want to tune into that to hear maybe an intro or outro or both in parody style for that. And also, I'm doing a Previously on Shameless, where Sarah is taking Adam and I through a Shameless, but we're only watching the Previously Ons, and it's a show that makes me deeply uncomfortable talking about at times, which delights Adam and Sarah to no end. So if you want to hear me get very uncomfortable talking about many things, then that's a great thing to listen to. In addition, we have Inside the TARDIS, where Kevin, Melissa, and Adam are going through Doctor Who. We have Whirlwind Investigations, where Adam and Melissa are going through Veronica Mars. We're just like having a lot of fun over there at Whirlwind. If you want to check us out, just find us at Whirlwind Podcasts. Whirlwindpodcast.com is our website. You can always send us feedback at whirlwindpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at Whirlwind Pods.
Incredible. Stuart, anything you want to plug, anything you've been watching, anything you've been consuming lately?
Oh, crikey. I jumped back onto like the Wrexham football show that with Ryan Reynolds and Rebecca Lillie. I've been watching that, surprisingly. I've been trying to like channel like the Ted Lasso, the wholesome comedy vibes, because I think from binging that while I was moving and then Schitt's Creek, I'm like, I'm kind of clinging for it. So I've drifted off from the Ted Lasso branch onto football. Not quite getting the comedy vibes from it, but yeah. interesting nonetheless. And yeah, if you want to get in touch with me and harass me about my awful takes on Schitt's Creek, on the socials at Stuart Drinks Tea.
And you can find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We just started season two and Felicity. We just started season two of that as well. And Sarah and I are both unspoiled on both shows. So first of all, don't spoil us because that's not very nice. Mm-hmm. And second of all, it's really fun getting to watch the show unspoiled and not know what to expect and probably have really trashy takes. So go check that out at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find us. We also occasionally put out bonus content, usually around twice a month. And upcoming, one of Todd's podcast partners, Lindy, came on and we talked about Drive Me Crazy, a 1999 film with Melissa Joan Hart and Adrian Grenier. I don't know how to say his last name, but
I think it's pronounced Grenier, but I'm not.
Of course it is, because I tried to do the French fancy kind and that's not what it is.
I may know because I actually saw him in person at a film festival once, like in between Drive Me Crazy and Entourage. He made a documentary about searching for his father and showed it at a film festival that a friend and I were at. And we went to screening largely because my friend had a massive crush on him from Drive Me Crazy.
Yes, is he just as hot in person? Tell the world, Todd, is he?
Sure.
Listen, the massive part, like spoilers for the podcast that will be coming out, 90% of it is us just being like, he's just so cute though. just look at him, he's so cute. So yeah, go listen to all of that stuff and subscribe. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and we'll be back next week with season one, episode 8. And until next time, let's see, go make some Nanaimo bars and have a little tasty treat. Bye everyone.